Hi, it's Sean D'Souza, and what you're listening to is a series called 22 Minutes with Sean. But what we're going to explore in this series is a whole bunch of questions that members at 5000 BC ask. We'll look at how these questions can be answered in a very short period of time so that you can move ahead. So here we go, 22 Minutes with Sean.
So I am Holly, and my website is The Land of Brand, where I help coaches build brands, as the name would imply. And the questions that I have today are revolving around the three-prong system, getting stuck between prongs. That means attracting clients that are unable to afford your one-to-one services, or say they're unable to afford your one-to-one services. And then when you offer groups, those same people are saying, I'm sold on working with you one-on-one. I don't want to do a group. Thus, getting stuck between and not actually filling either program. So my first question is really, what is your take on why that would be happening?
There's a very good or a very strong perception that one-to-one learning is more efficient than a group system. This is not true at all. The reason for it is very simple. A group makes more mistakes than an individual. So an individual will probably make one mistake or two mistakes, and you as the coach will be able to spot those mistakes and fix those mistakes. However, they don't know what other mistakes are possible. In a group situation, you can visually see those mistakes, either as part of the group or if you're on a call, you can hear the mistakes. If you're part of a webinar, you can see the mistakes. The point is that when we have a group situation, which is usually in our courses or in the workshop, and also when we used to have training on the phone, people would bring up the same situation, and then you would get X number of mistakes, which you would then tend to, and people would go, oh, I didn't know you could go off at that tangent. So what you have is a situation where the perception is that group is inferior to one-on-one, and that problem has to be removed. So this could be done through a kind of report. It could be done through an article. A report somehow comes across as more authoritative. So when you have maybe an outsider saying that, say, maybe I would quote that we've done courses, we've done all this stuff for so many years, and this is what we found. And then you find other studies that come to the same conclusion, then you will find that your clients will want the group instead of the one-on-one. And this is true for every course that we do. The people who have done the course before, they automatically know that the group is superior to the individual. The people who are brand new don't know it. And when you look at the testimonial at the end, when you look at the experience at the end, the people that talk about the groups in great detail are the ones that didn't know it. So the way we go about it is to then promote that concept that the group is more powerful than the teacher itself. So what you're trying to get across is not the fact that the group is just better, but why is the group better? And eventually that the group facilitates learning on a scale that is better than just engaging with the teacher themselves.
That is such an interesting take, and I understand, I can see exactly what you mean in practice. And that is not an angle that I even considered when talking to people about this. So that's so interesting. And it kind of skews my questions.
It doesn't matter. So, you can go ahead. I'll still have a sub point to whatever questions you have. It doesn't matter.
This is why I like you so much, because you don't you don't go the direction that I expect for it. I don't know if that's the same for other people, but I expected to go in the direction of how do you build the value of the one-on-one? Like, am I attracting the wrong client? That kind of thing. So let me just look at my questions.
So just while you're, sorry, the whole thing about anything in life is that you have a factor of perception and perception management. So when we look at any training that we do, we have, say, a forum, we have notes, we have audio, we have, that's what we do in information products, for instance. And there are things that we can change. So when people give their feedback, they always say, you know, you could change this. And there are things that you cannot change or will not change. So I will not change the format of the forum, even though it is 15 or 20 years old, because it is more efficient than any video or audio or anything. But you don't know that when you're joining. And so your perception is different. And the way to beat a system is to change the perception by perception management. And the way you can beat that perception, as it were, is to, first of all, always couch it with some document that looks more official. So an article is less official than a report. You are less official than someone else. Your client is more official than you saying it. So there are all of these sub things that enable the client to then enter. Because, for instance, when we do a course, if you do a online course with us for the first time, it often drives you crazy because you don't know where you're going. So you trust a GPS, but you don't necessarily trust a teacher. So if you've never done the course before, you're not likely to completely trust me. You trust the GPS because 9 out of 10 times the GPS is not taking you off the cliff. And so the way we work it is to put in the testimonials, we put in the experiences, we get people who have done the group sessions before to then mention the group sessions, and they do it of their own, you know, we don't push them to do it, they just mention it, and we go from there.
And what's funny is you mentioning the perception management. When I reviewed my questions, I realized they are all about perception. So that will be the thread for this call then. So the other perception that I wanted to ask questions about was part of this situation of people saying that they want one-on-one and then saying they can't afford it is they'll agree that the program that we're talking about is everything, and they agree that they're going to be getting, you know, a tremendous return on investment. Where they start backpedaling is when I talk about, you know, how long it's going to take. And what's funny is they know what the investment is at this point. They know what they're going to be getting. And when I tell them that it's only going to take 4 weeks and they're expecting to have much more time with me, even though they're getting what they asked for, now they're saying, okay, well, that doesn't sound like enough time, or, you know, that's a large investment for such, you know, only 4 calls with you. So, again, this is a perception. Like, how do I address the perception that less time is therefore less valuable, even though the outcome is the same?
It's the same thing. It's what you have to do is make the longer time the enemy. So we have this on the article writing course. I tell people, you know, we could do a 9-month article writing course, and they go, oh, that's really cool. Or we could do it in 3 months. Which one would you prefer? I didn't say anything. I didn't give them the details of the course. I didn't say anything. They think it's a really good idea to write articles for 9 months until they can get the same results or better results in 3 months. Which one would you choose?
Right.
So you can go, well, we have a 12-week thing, and it costs, I don't know, maybe 50% more. Or we can get the same results in 1/3 the time, and it'll cost you 50% less.
I love that. And what is the best way to build trust that you can do it that quickly? Because that might be another factor. I don't know if we can do this in 3 months or 4 weeks or whatever it is.
If you believe that can be done in 4 weeks, I'm pretty sure you can, because we have a reasonable understanding of how quickly we can get the customer across from one point to another. We might be off by a couple of weeks, or we might be on target, but I don't think it's going to take 12 weeks if you think it's going to be done in 4 weeks. So right. What's happening is that the reason why it takes 12 weeks is because of the lack of preparation. And what we tend to do is, if a client is going to show up at a workshop, for instance, and they're going to listen to the slides for the first time, that's like listening or reading a book for the first time. You're not really remembering most of it. You're not getting most of it. And you're just scrambling. And that's why people take notes all the time. And this is why we suggest that people don't bring their notes to the workshop, because you don't have to take notes to the workshop. All the notes are sent to you a month in advance. All the instructions are given to you running up to the event itself. So essentially what's happening is that you've got to prime them to be ready to execute in 4 weeks. What most people do is they give them what they have to do at the start of the four-week thing. Now they're scrambling. Of course, it's going to take 8 weeks because they needed 4 weeks to prepare. And they needed 4 weeks to execute. And of course, you will struggle. So when you give them all the information in advance, now it depends on what you're doing. In your case, you're doing branding. But even if you're doing a workshop, even if you're doing a course, even if you're doing anything, people say, well, if I give them all the information in advance, what are we going to talk about on the call? What are we going to talk about at the workshop? And what you're really doing is you're giving different examples for the same thing. And that enlightens the client in a completely different way, even though you're saying exactly the same thing. It's a different way of looking at the same thing. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
I am. This is all really good. And all of these things that you're talking about really relate back to your philosophy and your methodology, which I know are a part of the prospectus that you write about a program in order to pre-sell and to educate people on these things and your uniqueness and what's different about this course or program, whatever it is that you're creating. I feel like that is one tool for doing that. And there's so much that you can cover, even just in the topics that we've talked about. What are some other ways, and is there a formula for delivering that information to create this perception? Because it doesn't just happen overnight with one piece of information. How do you kind of curate this experience and curate this perception over time?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It's not just the prospectus. The prospectus is one tool. What I'm doing all the time is sending out the philosophy, whether, for instance, if I'm speaking on this call, I will say something that will relate to, say, the article writing course. I am selling the article writing course as well as giving you the philosophy of the article writing course, that we don't need 9 months, we need 3 months, we need to get there, okay? So that's one thing. I use it in the podcast. If I'm giving a presentation, the examples will cover the philosophy. It will cover the method. So this philosophy and method, someone told me not to say methodology, so I'm saying method. So philosophy and method will exist everywhere, in articles, in reports, in books, in presentations, in webinars, in every place I can think of, you will get philosophy and method, to the point where you're not reading something new when you're reading the prospectus. You're just reading new words, but it's the same thing.
Okay. That makes sense. And I do love how you do that at the end of podcasts, because it doesn't feel like we're being sold to, but it does make you really want the course because you're doing these, you're talking about the philosophy and the method, and you get that buy-in because it makes sense. And I feel like that's so important, that you're, what you're doing makes sense to the right people.
Yeah, you don't have to hide things from people. So a lot of people, they think, you know, I have to sell something. And I don't tend to sell as much as tell people something. So I go, Look, there is the regular and the premium, and you can save 10% on the regular. But here's what you don't get. And when you look at the website, you can see regular and premium everywhere. So you can see what we're saying. It's overt. It's out there. I'm saying, you know, if you don't join 5000 BC, maybe I'll answer six or a few emails and then I'll stop. So I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. Mm-hmm. And what people tend to do is they try to hide information as if someone is going to not figure it out. And clients have so many ways to find out that you're hiding information that it's not funny. And you should just tell them, you know, this is the course. I'm going to write this book. This book is going to be about this. This is going to be the method. This is the philosophy. I'm going to charge you 15% more than all the other books. This is the reason why I think you should charge. And that's it. And it doesn't have to be correct or wrong or whatever. It's just who you are. And that's how we make friends. People accept us for who we are, and the people who don't accept us are not our friends.
Right. So this kind of speaks to my next question, which is, you come across as so much confidence, and I'm wondering, how do you talk about your value without sounding arrogant? So how do you talk about why these programs are superior or why you can achieve this or that with them without sounding like you're kind of hyping things up or just being kind of an ass?
One of the things that really works well, which I found out maybe a couple of years ago, was audio. When you look at video, say you look at someone and you look at the way they're dressed, you look at, you know, the way they're looking at the camera, and you come to some conclusion, and that conclusion might be good or bad or whatever. When you look at the word, the written word, again, you come to another conclusion. But audio gives stuff away. So there was this example where this woman had called in to one of these money shows, and she started to talk about how she wasn't doing really well. And somewhere along the way, the announcer said, "You're not getting beaten up, are you?" And she says, as in physically beaten. And she said, "No." You see what happened just happened there? Mm-hmm. You realize that she was lying.
Right.
And that kind of tone clearly gets across to the customer in audio. So audio is a really good way for people to recognize who you really are. It's much harder in text. And you have to have someone. For instance, if I'm not sure about something, I'll run it past, say, Renuka, and then she will go, "No, I wouldn't do that." So it's very hard to say how you could be absolutely authentic. But I say audio is a good way to go. Video is probably also a good way, but not as good as audio. I'm just trying to think. I think if you're very consistent with what you say, it doesn't come across as inauthentic. So we have someone like, say, Dan Kennedy. So for those people who don't know Dan Kennedy, he was around before the 2000s. So last century marketers still around. But he would say, clients are scumbags. They're the bottom feeders. They're whatever, right? And he would not take your call. He would do all that kind of stuff. People loved him for it. Who loved him for it? I don't know. I bought a lot of his stuff. I don't agree with his stuff. I think it was great. But what he was doing was he was consistently saying what was on his mind. There is another guy, Ben Settle. He sends out all these emails that I would never agree with. Not one of them. Well, maybe some, but most of them I would not agree with. But his audience loves it. So if you want to get across a message without being arrogant, then you have to be consistent. And then they take your arrogance as who you are. Or they take your kindness as who you are. And I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. And I think the consistency piece is part of it is you need to know kind of what your point of view is and then repeat it. So it's not only being consistent, because I can be consistent in what I'm saying, but almost like you also want to be repetitive, rather. Like you need to say that over and over again so that they begin to see that as your point of view and your brand, aka.
Right.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes. So when you say, what's my uniqueness? So people say, oh, this is my uniqueness. And if you say it once, no one pays attention. But for instance, we say, we don't just give you information. Other people give you information. They don't give you your money. They give you money back. They don't give you information. We don't give you money back. We give you, sorry, I've got that all wrong. So I say, if you join the course, what we do is we don't give you money back, we give you skill. And the others, they give you money back and they don't give you skill. Now, when you really agonize over that statement, you go, I'm not getting my money back, but you still sign up. So what happened there? That message is consistent. And then all the testimonials are consistent because the people who finish the course, finish the book, finish the whatever, then come up with the same lines, which is, oh, we were unsure about the money back, but we have the skill now. So there you go. And now when I say it one more time in this call, you hear it for the 750th time,
Right. So I have one last question. And it kind of goes back to, obviously all these lead into each other. This next question is kind of people checking into what other people are saying about you. So I have these testimonials on my website, and I've tried to model them after your format so that, like you said, other people are saying what I want to say, but it comes from someone else that has a little bit more weight. And what do you do when the testimonials when people like Google stalk them, so look up the person, they don't have anything that's impressive, or the work that you've done is kind of behind the scenes, so they can't really they become across as less impressive, I guess, is a way of saying it, even though the person had a fantastic experience and has everything they need and it just hasn't been applied yet. How do you address that?
Yeah, you can't control what you can't control. It's what you can do is you can put in a testimonial. Like, we put in a testimonial. In the past, we used to put the website addresses, and websites change and things happen and people don't update websites. And so we just put the name.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. So we just put the name. We put the city, state, profession. That doesn't change. But when you start putting websites, it doesn't work. So the best way to do is just put a before and after on your own website that shows maybe that person's work. So you can, and this is, you'll see this on many websites. What they do is they put a screenshot of the before and after. And that doesn't require you to go to another website which hasn't been updated in or has changed and then doesn't exist or something like that.
Right. Okay. I think for me, the moral of the story is you can't control that.
You can't, no.
Okay. All right. So those are all of my questions in this vein. And this was tremendously helpful. I really appreciate you taking the time to answer them for me.
You're welcome. Thank you.